Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are back. It's the Illini Inquirer podcast after a week hiatus. Most of us got away for a little bit. Derek Piper had a vacation. I had a vacation. I've now been north and south of the border the last month here, Joey Wagner. But Joey got away for a little bit with the boys for a weekend, so trying to feel a little bit more refreshed. We got away without a lot of big news last week, but there's certainly things that happened, so we're going to talk about it here on the Illini Inquirer podcast. Welcome into our live YouTubers here. We are chatting with Joey Wagner today. We're going to talk a lot of Illini football as they get a big transfer commitment that will break down as they're putting the finishing touches on the 2023 roster here. Tomorrow, Tuesday, we will chat with Derek Piper. We'll go live at 1 p.m. Central Time to talk about the latest Illini basketball and all that you want to know about Ray J. Dennis. NBA draft combine starting this week. We'll get to all of that. But how are you, Joey Wagner? Good to see you, man.
I'm good, man. A little bit refreshed. It's been a long week, but back at it, man. I didn't get to go to Mexico, but had a good weekend in Indy. Fun city. Really love Indy, Milwaukee. Minneapolis. You turned me on to Minneapolis, too. That's coming up soon, but it's good to get away for a little bit.
We liked Pittsburgh as well. Had good times. Fun.
Kansas City. Awesome.
We don't need to leave the Midwest, do we? Not last week. I picked the best week of the year to weather-wise to travel to Mexico, but good time. My wife and I got away from the kids for a little bit. Shout out to in-laws who watched the kids. They had a blast, and we had a blast. It was nice to get away. And this is about as tan as I get for the YouTube listeners.
I wondered what you were going to look like. If you were going to be like really red or like Michael Scott coming back from Jamaica tan.
Well, red is my tan, Joey. That's as tan as I get is red. So the fact that I did not get sunburnt, got a little bit of peeling on the shoulders, but I don't feel that anymore. So the fact that I came unsunburnt and a couple pounds heavier, I feel good about myself.
Can I ask to drink a choice? Was it a swim up bar and then drink a choice?
There is a swim up bar.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, because I was starting to drink in the morning, screwdrivers were a big hit. Screwdrivers a big hit. You know me, rum and diets. And then I tried a lot of the fruity drinks. I had some pina coladas, had some rum punch.
No apple teenies.
One night, I had a good night on wine, which I am not a wine drinker. So I got a little, what did I drink? I don't even know all the wines.
Next one.
Yeah, one of the white ones. That's basically what I drank. So we got a lot to talk about, though. It is a good time to get away for us. It's one of the very few slow, in air quote, times that I would say. But Illinois football trying to put the finishing touches here on the 2023 roster. And let's start there, Joey, as they land what I think, and we can dive into this, is one of the most significant transfer additions for Brett Bielema, in my opinion, just based on the production he had the year prior. And that's defensive back safety Demetrius Hill, was a freshman All-American last year, according to the Football Writers Association of America. Gabe Backus was also on that list. And just to put that in perspective, since the FWAA has done the freshman All-American teams in 2001, Illinois has only had two guys on that list, and that's Gabe Backus and Akeem Spence back in 2010. Now, Regis Benn had Jeremy Macklin and Michael Crabtree to contend with for the two wide receiver spots. Mikey Dudak, like, there certainly have been some really good freshman season. Bennett Williams, I know ESPN had him as a freshman All-American. But that tells you the production this guy had, 95 tackles, three forced fumbles, an interception. He brings some experience to a secondary that has to replace three starters. And what I find interesting is he played a lot of strong safety last year. Illinois likes him, who he's 6'2", 190 pounds. They like him at free safety, Joey. So that has been a role that has been very productive in the Ryan Walters / Aaron Henry / Brett Bielema defense. Obviously not a lot's going to change with Aaron Henry. So you see Kirby Joseph get five picks, become a top 100 pick. You see Kendall Smith get five picks, get an NFL contract with the Washington Commanders. You can see why Demetrius Hill was really interested in Illinois because of the development, and that's what he wanted. And Virginia Tech wanted him. There was a couple other Power 5 programs really interested in him. So this is a guy that I think is going to come in and make a pretty significant impact, and we can talk about the competition as well. But what would you make of this addition for Illinois?
Yeah, it's one that you saw you knew he visited Virginia Tech. You had seen he was from Florida. Florida schools were certainly going to be kicking the tires. I wasn't as deep as Virginia Tech, and you thought, well, we just haven't seen them in the portal land this type of commitment. So I guess going into it, I thought, how much stock do you put in? Like, you're getting him on a visit, that's good news, but are you going to land him? So to get him, like, that tells you a lot. And I know you, myself, Ryan Easterling, had this discussion. I think for as much as made about the trenches with Brett Bielema, fairly so, right? I mean, there's a long history there. There's a history with running backs. Right now, I think free safety is their best recruiting pitch that they have going. Like, and this kind of backs that up when you look at deep reserve Kirby Joseph, who was a wide receiver one day, is a defensive back the next, and you turn him into a top 100 pick. And he certainly, I shouldn't say you turn him in, he developed into a top 100 pick with his own work ethic too. And then Kendall Smith, who was in the portal, who was similarly a wide receiver one day, a defensive back, I mean, not really on there. And you help him get to that point where he gets a free agent contract with the Commanders. That's a pretty good selling point in 2 years. So, like, you go 1 year and then the next year. I just think that right now, and the way the defense, I'm with you, I don't know the defense is going to change so drastically that position's suddenly going to dry up and some of those production opportunities aren't going to be available. I think getting him just backs up, like, that's the best pitch they have on the recruiting market, on the transfer market right now.
Yeah, and you could just say DB in general when you have a top five pick. You got five guys during the Brett Bielema era who now have NFL contracts who are DBs, correct? Or six with Tony Adams thrown in there as well.
That's right.
Obviously Devin Witherspoon, Kirby Joseph, Sidney Brown, Quan Martin. So it's been a heck of a run for them. So I agree. I think DB sell is huge here. And man, like, I want to bring up one of the quotes that Demetrius Hill gave me, because I can hear Brett Bielema saying this. I've heard Brett Bielema say this. But he said, the process was really rough. He's talking about his transfer recruitment. Every day I get new coaches calling me, lots of big schools, the money, this and that. He said, but I don't really care about the temporary money. I want development so I can make a lot of money in the future. That's parroting Brett Bielema. Because Brett Bielema, like, Illinois' NIL is decently strong. Like, they've used a lot of it to retain players, right? But they're probably not going to go out and beat some of these biggest Power 5 programs for some of the most desired transfers. But what Brett Bielema has told us, what he's told transfers, is don't think about what you're going to make next year. Think about what you're going to make for the next 10 years. And look what we just did with Devin Witherspoon, who's going to make a $30 million, $20 million-plus signing bonus right away.
Sometime in the next, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah. He's going to get that deposit. Sidney Brown just signed a four-year contract. Like, all these guys signing contracts, millions of dollars, get to your second deal, cash in. That's what they're selling. And they sold it incredibly well here for Demetrius Hill, who didn't tell me, you know, all the schools that were interested. But obviously Virginia Tech didn't have a great year under Brent Pry, but for Illinois to beat a historically way better program in Virginia Tech is not nothing. And that tells you Illinois its sell is definitely increasing. And you mentioned DB, Joey. I was thinking about, they got a good sell for O-line. They got a good sell for D-line, edge rusher, DB, running back. Like, some of these other positions you got to help keep, you know, improving so you can sell those too. But, I mean, you're thinking about half these positions, they got a pretty good sell right now.
Yeah, that's a far cry. Like, at some point, it's not smart for us to continue to go back to the pre-Bielema window there, but, like, it's a far cry from the sell that they had pretty much anywhere. Like, again, Lovey brought in the talent, but the sell wasn't really as strong. I don't remember, if you go into the 21 season and you were Illinois, what was the best pitch that you had?
Playing time?
Yeah. And that had been the pitch for 5 years before that. So, yeah, I think when you see who they're beating Virginia Tech and other Power 5 interest, I think is probably the best way to put that. Like, that tells you that this program is on the up. Like, obviously, the last season, like, if you saw it last season on the field and you saw it the way the roster is going. But to go and land and freshman All-American and to be able to, we think, somebody who's probably going to start or be in contention to start, like heavy contention to start going into fall camp. That's a big one. I think he has the potential to be one of the bigger transfers outside of quarterback, which I think is the big caveat, because quarterbacks are quarterbacks, and Tommy DeVito is good and Luke Altmaier is certainly talented. He still got to show that with time on the field. And there's still a lot for Hill to show, but when you look at like how we think of projected starters, projected playing time, Brett Bielema's generally gone in the more depth realm, getting guys. Now we can get into maybe what we think they're looking for here shortly, but this is a guy who we think is going to project as a starter immediately in the two deep, and like that's kind of a shift from what we've seen those first 2 years outside of the quarterback spot.
Yeah, I want to come back to that. So remind me of that. I want to come back to Bielema's kind of type in recruiting and how Hill kind of compares to that. But he obviously shuffles up the secondary a little bit, because this is the second safety transfer Illinois has added. They added Nicario Harper, who I think most fits the strong safety role. I had heard he could play nickel as well, but we saw him play a little bit of free safety in the open scrimmages we saw. So Illinois certainly felt like they needed experience in the secondary. Not a surprise when he was four starters, including all three safeties. But Matthew Bailey, who we saw backing up Sidney Brown last year, who we saw play strong safety really well, and then he played kind of a dime, you know, kind of back half free safety kind of role at times. I thought he could have played either or. I thought the flexibility of having a Matthew Bailey, who we plugged in as one starter, but which spot is it going to be? I think this is more likely Matthew Bailey going back to strong safety, as long as Demetrius Hill goes and wins the other safety job. But I do think this says that, you know, maybe they do feel they need to add another player on top of Nicario Harper, who, man, he packs a punch. We saw that in a few scrimmages, but wasn't all that reliable. I think he needs to be a little bit more disciplined in their scheme. And Illinois seems really excited about the addition of Demetrius Hill. 3 years of eligibility here, long, athletic, does pack a punch as a tackler. Obviously has to prove it at this level, but he had an offer from Florida out of Miami Springs High School. You know, a couple smaller offers, USF and Florida International after that, but they seem really excited about him. So if he's going to free safety and he wins that job, I think Matthew Bailey's the strong safety. Can Nicario Harper push for one of those spots? Does he rotate? Does he push to nickel? Xavier Scott, I think, is going to be the nickel, but do they feel like he can slide to corner if you got Nicario Harper? You just got more options now, but I would imagine my favorites for the starting safety positions, the two safety positions, would be strong safety Matthew Bailey, free safety Demetrius Hill.
I agree with that. And as you said that, I thought, is there any reason we should look and think maybe Matthew Bailey isn't, you know, for us, we've kind of penciled, maybe almost pinned him into a starting spot. And like, I don't know that there's a reason to think otherwise. Like, he didn't have spring. He was hurt. I think it was a foot injury or a toe injury. But he showed so much as a freshman. And like very quickly. I mean, it didn't take him. I remember the open practice. I mean, it wasn't one of those guys who came on in week six and, you know, you didn't turn around. This was pretty early on. So I don't know that there's a reason why we would think he shouldn't be penciled in to one. And if they like Hill as a free safety, I mean, it kind of math back to Emmett Strong.
And they call him Sid 2. They call Matthew Bailey Sid 2.0, right? He practiced at that position. Some people thought he could be a linebacker at this level. So I just think it's his natural spot. Now, you can be versatile. It doesn't mean he's not going to cover people and all that. He showed last year.
Like Quan Martin was versatile.
Yeah, well, in that dime package, Matthew Bailey was basically a, you know, cover two safety. In covering ground, that's how he got three interceptions, right? So in less than 200 snaps, which is just unbelievable. But, yeah, I think that you feel a lot better about the depth chart. Now, because if an injury happens, Nakario Harper was a former FCS All-American. He can play. And now you just have more competition for those spots. I think that's a good thing, and I think it's a good thing, Joey, that they're not going into the season having to rely on guys who just haven't played at this level, the Division I level. Like, I am really high on what Sabour Kareem can eventually be. I don't think you want Sabour Kareem playing free safety as a true freshman. TJ Griffin has good ball skills, hasn't really played. At this level, so you know some of those other options that you could add safety and Keyonte Curry, and, you know, Prince Green, who entered the transfer portal, like those are guys that it's like, oh, can they take the spot now? I think this shows those guys aren't taking that spot. Obviously, Green gone, but Curry seems like he's gotten passed up a little bit on the depth chart.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Which, and remember, Curry was one of Bielema's early, I say early, like late in the 21 class, but one of those handpicked guys by Bielema when he took the job. So, yeah, I think you want that insurance because this is a program that can't really afford to take when we say a step back, I think we mean like non-bowl step back. I think this program needs to continue to build on what these last 2 years have been, and you want to cover your bases when you're trying to build on that. You want to eliminate as many risks or potential hiccups as possible. So I think going back there, adding somebody who's played Division I football at a high level. Now, again, as you mentioned, you're stepping up into the Big Ten. It is a different world, but they like what they see. They weren't alone. I mean, this wasn't Illinois. It was the only one involved with Demetrius Hill. So I just think the insurance helps, and just push guys. Yeah. Right? Like you've got to push guys. If you're Nakario Harper, you want to push for that strong safety spot perhaps, or can you push Xavier Scott, who you and I believe are – it's probably the front runner. I know someone asked in the chat, probably the front runner for the nickel job. Can Nakario Harper push him? But you just want more options back there. You want more guys being pushed to fight complacency, I guess. A lot of that sounds cliche, but like when you've got so many open spots, you need to give yourself as many options as you can.
I think we're seeing a clear transfer portal strategy so far. From Brett Bielema. His first offseason, he needed guys, right? Like he came in, probably saw, I need talent, and he went out and got some guys who were formerly high-rated prospects, right? Like Calvin Hart, Jafar Armstrong, Chase Hayden, who he knew, obviously, Art Sikowski, Eddie Smith. Then he got Alec Bryant. Alec Bryant's become a rotational player. The biggest impact guy out of that group, though, really, has been Jack Badovinak. Right, the offensive lineman from I think it was
Colgate.
Yeah, you know, added Max Rosenthal from Michigan State, who, you know, obviously comes from a Power Five program. But the last two transfer cycles, we've seen Brett Bielema go more towards hungrier guys from lower levels, and whether it's some of the guys have made an impact, T-Rod Edwards, Terrell Jennings was before his injury. But last year's transfer class outside of Tommy DeVito, like outside of quarterback, Illinois has gone star hunting at quarterback. Everywhere else, they seem to go depth and guys who we feel are good for our culture. We'll add depth, but maybe not guys we're going to rely on as starters. If they do start, that's great. And in this class, they get the star quarterback in Luke Altmyer, former four-star prospect. Then they add Demetrius Hill from a lower level, Denzel Daxon from a lower level, Tanner Arkin from a lower level, and Nakario Harper, who's from Louisville, but really had his best years at the FCS level. So that's kind of how Bielema has done it. And that's not exciting for the transfer rankings, Joey. Like, Illinois is not rated high in the transfer rankings, but they don't have to go get those stars because they already kept their stars. Like, you know, some of these schools have to go find these former four-star prospects, right? Because, like, Nebraska, the last couple of years has been an example of that. Because they lose their guys to the portal, or their guys didn't develop. Now, I'm interested long-term how this works out for Illinois, but so far, what do you make of how Brett Bielema has looked at and approached the portal?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think you want guys who are going to come in and push, and if a younger guy beats out one of those hungrier guys, then great. And if the hungry guy beats him out, then great. But I'm with you. I think it's worked. Relatively speaking, because you haven't had two-star defensive linemen go to the NFL before your guys are ready. You haven't had two-star offensive linemen go to the NFL before your guys are ready to come in and take those jobs. Has, like, the interesting thing to me is, like, has that bridge been built enough from retaining those stars, Keith Randolph, Johnny Newton, Julian Pearl, Isaiah Adams, to get them with that extra year is going to help those guys behind them be ready. And you don't have, like, if you can avoid that stopgap and you can bring in what Brett Bielema's approach to being hungry, then great. Or if you can find the right star hunting to go get, then great. But I just wonder if this looks different if you see those defensive linemen, those offensive linemen, even a Seth Coleman make that jump, or if, you know, if Devin Witherspoon, which I know it's, you know, X's and O's, but like, if he didn't come back for last, like, what's it all look like if the timeline's different? So I just wonder if the timeline's allowed itself where Brett Bielema can continue this strategy, or if at some point one offseason is going to flip it and he's got to suddenly go replace two starting all Big Ten caliber players at a position. And right now it looks like he may have, you know, time this out where that's not going to be a problem, but it's off-season recruiting, right? It's off-season roster retention. Like, it can flip very, very quickly. I'm with you. It looks like lower levels come up, but I think that the way that the retention has happened has allowed that to be their strategy without having to divert away from that.
Yeah. I do wonder, when you do lose Keith Randolph and Johnny Newton to the portal, and who's the next guys? Are you confident?
To the draft.
Sorry. Ooh. Excuse me. You lose those guys. I was thinking you got to go to the portal.
I got you.
But are your other guys ready? Like, is Mason Moragan ready? Is Sed McConnell ready to be a start? Like, you might have to go because you haven't landed those guys 2-3 years ago to develop behind them. Do you have to go star hunting in the portal? And is Illinois ready for that? Is their NIL operation ready for that? But yeah, my biggest – Brett Bielema cares about his culture. He's put a lot into this, of building this culture that these guys want to be here, that these guys did not enter the portal, that Keith Randolph, Johnny Newton stayed, that Gabe Akis stayed, that Isaiah Adams is trusting the staff that, I could have been a fourth-round pick, but I think they can make me a first- or second-round pick next year. Like, that's what you want. That's what you work so hard to build. You know, some of these transfers come in, even if they didn't have success at the other spot, and there's a sense of entitlement, right? Like, or if you had success somewhere else and you come to Illinois, like, you might have a sense of entitlement. He doesn't want to screw up that locker room. But at some point, you do have to have talent. So it will be interesting to see if that changes in the future. But it's worked for him so far. You haven't had to rely on transfers heavily, and I think that's what you want. He's been able to develop Lovie Smith's recruits, and now we'll see how the development of their own prep prospects. I think you made a great point. Like, offensive line next year is mostly going to be Brett Bielema's guys, and I'm talking prep recruiting guys. And then next year, your defensive line. Like, yeah, some of what happened under Lovie Smith towards the end of that tenure is hurt, but you also haven't landed a lot of your top defensive line prospects the previous couple of years. So do you have to go to the portal and address that, and does that change? But it's worked for him so far, and I think it speaks volumes that the players want to play for him, and now they're developing, you know, the sell that, man, we develop players and we develop draft picks here, especially at certain positions.
Yeah, I also think it's worth mentioning, because the question we get a lot is, well, what's Illinois football's NIL? How are they doing NIL? And here's the thing, like, every person you talk to from school to school is going to have a different number. Like, most of the numbers you see out there are inflated, right? I mean, that's just, everyone wants to look like they've got the most. So I think when Illinois isn't going out and getting the former four-star wide receiver, the, you know, whatever, like they're not making those splashes, I think the general thought process goes to, well, they're not competitive in the NIL world. I know we've talked about that, but I really don't think that's grounded in reality. I think there is NIL money at Illinois. I think you see that in the retention, where you can be more active in kind of, you know, leaning into that NIL. But I just think that, like, that's the common thing we hear is, well, they don't have any NIL money. They don't have any NIL money. I just think that
they don't have the NIL money to go get.
Pick somebody. Caleb Williams, right?
He was Dominic Lovett. You know what I mean? Sure. I don't know if that is there. Like, I don't know if they're going to get into that. But yes, you mentioned, like, you know, the Jordan Addisons of the world.
Everybody wants more NIL money.
Yeah.
Every program wants more NIL money.
Brett Bielema made it clear, like, Avery Jones is going to make some NIL here. Auburn put SEC money out there that I don't think Illinois wanted to throw out at him. Now that's left a hole on the roster that we'll talk about that here in a second. But, you know, that's going to be the next question is, does Illinois have that NIL money? But I think they put it in the right spot. They put it in retention. Because as sexy as some of these transfer additions, as fun as it can be, you know what's better? Johnny Newton returning, Keith Randolph returning, Julian Pearl, Isaiah Adams. Those guys would all be, you know, 4 or 5-star transfers.
Yeah, or fourth or fifth round picks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just think, like, I know we've harped on it a lot, but I just think that the immediate thought to go to, well, they don't have money, is flawed. And I just want to point that out, that we think they do. It's just they're using it differently. So just because they're not getting that Jordan Addison or whoever the case may be doesn't mean they're, you know, there's no money to be had in the NIL front for Illinois football.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Illinois is looking to add a couple more pieces. Bielema has told us, and just by our math, unless something has changed and the numbers we have aren't, they don't always share their scholarship numbers, but Bielema did the other day, last couple weeks, 3 open scholarships. They fill one of those with Demetrius Hill. The other potential targets that they are focused on is offensive line and wide receiver. I do think, Joey, they are continuing to show some interest in defensive line. So it'd be interesting to see if they add any pieces there, if they do have another scholarship open there. But offensive line, they just host one of the top JUCO prospects, and kudos to Illinois getting early in on this one. Center Amari Wiggins out of Coffeyville Community College just took an official visit to Illinois, took an official to Miami the week prior. He's got an LSU offer. He got a Penn State offer yesterday after he wrapped up his Illinois visit. This is the biggest need. I know wide receiver, you'd love to add another piece there, but if I had to add one more player, it'd be Amari Wiggins. Given his offer list, given his film, given his size, his athleticism, and given the need, because the fact that Illinois continues to really recruit centers tells me that they do not feel quite comfortable yet about Josh Kreutz being their starting center. They've praised Kreutz, all of that, but obviously they have a high standard on the offensive line. So this tells me that they really feel they need to upgrade there or at least add competition. And Amari Wiggins is a really good prospect, as you can tell by his offer list or if you turn on his film.
Yeah, that's – you got to – Brett Bielema's not going to stand up and say we need a center, but you've got to follow the offers. You've got to follow the visits. And they tell us, as they have really, Jeremy, since the Relia Quest Bowl ended, that they're in the market for a center. Good pitch there, right? Alex Pilstrom ends up in a camp. Doug Kramer before that. So I do think it's not surprising, but it is interesting that they're still very much going after a starting caliber center. And it goes a little bit, Jeremy, back to the conversation we had. They're not looking for a depth center. They're looking for somebody to come in and push Josh Kreutz or vice versa, have Josh Kreutz push him for that starting job. And I think that's very telling. A junior college market, they've got a good pitch. I would imagine on that visit, Isaiah Adams and Zy Chrysler were involved in the discussion with Amari Wiggins in terms of what Illinois can offer development-wise and where they could see him ultimately going. But yeah, it's clear that they're not just riding out and spring was it and Josh Kreutz has the job. They're searching. And will they be successful? I don't know. That's a heck of an offer list to compete against. I would imagine Brett Bielema brought up the whole Nick Saban NFL offensive lineman stats. That's very much something he's put out there quite a bit. But yeah, man, they've been active in that. And if they miss on Wiggins, then what? Like, that's what I'm interested in, is like, do you keep going down this road, or do you eventually say, okay, we need defensive linemen, we need, we'll get to the wide receiver in a minute. I know that's a long way away, or maybe it isn't.
It's something I thought of. Because I know they're still looking into the defensive line, and they only have two scholarships now. Like, that was my thought, is maybe if they don't get their center that they feel is the highest quality, then they'll roll with Josh Kreutz, and maybe they'll take that scholarship and go to a defensive lineman. Wiggins would be a significant addition. 3 years of eligibility remaining, so that'd be big if they can add him. And I do think they have the cell to compete with these other teams, but it's LSU, it's Miami, it's Penn State, so that'd make that win even better if they're able to get him.
Think about that interior real quick. I mean, you'd look at a junior college, Isaiah Adams, Amari Wiggins. We think Zy Chrysler. I don't know that we expect him to go out to right tackle, though certainly a possibility. Brett Bielema, Bart Miller would go into every junior college they can get their hands on and say, look at our interior. I mean, that's a pitch, and I know – you've talked about this before when they went out and got Chrysler and Adams and Desmond Schuster's on his way to camp. You know, he'll be in campus. He's committed to Illinois. That's kind of and with the way the portal is and high school recruiting, that's a market that's ripe for somebody to get their hands on. So I just think that's an interesting pitch if they were to land him. That's an interior thing that'll play when you go into some of these colleges.
They've clearly shown interest in wide receivers. A.J. Henning decides to go Northwestern. Just my quick thought on that, made the most sense.
Opportunity.
Yeah, just I thought Illinois had interest. Man, if you can add a guy like A.J. Henning to be a star returner and give you depth at the slot behind Isaiah Williams, that would have been fantastic. But I think Illinois, I know they like their slot receivers. Hank Beatty, Kanari Wilcher behind him is probably going to make an early impact. And Northwestern needs wide receivers, man. It's close to home. Linkaway East has a great connection there, so not surprised he decides to go there. You'd love to add Zachary Franklin with the Barry Lunny connection there at UTSA, but he's going to have some big-time interest. J-Day Walker, who they were interested in, committed to Texas A&M, I believe, long wide receiver. But it seems like Jaden Dixon Veal, JUCO wide receiver, out of California. He set an official visit for the weekend. 6 foot, 185 pounds, really fast, really quick in and out of his breaks. I don't expect him to like have 40 catches next year, Joey, but this tells me what I was thinking. What we talked about during spring ball is I like what they're building long-term at wide receiver, but once you get to that second group, there's not much proven. Like, I feel good about Hank Beatty and Kanari Wilcher in the slot. You love what Malik Elzey and Colin Dixon are going to bring. You're hoping eventually Sean Miller and Ian Pugh and Ashton Hollins can make an impact, but there's not a lot of experience. There's not a lot of age in that group. So if you have one injury to your starters, I feel like your group can go from like a middle of the pack Big Ten wide receiver group, which is a huge improvement for Illinois, to potentially one of the worst in the Big Ten. So I think adding experience is something they did with Cody Case and Jonah Morris last year. I think there's obviously a bridge. Like, give them a little bit of higher floor in their second group with their depth. And I think this something has to do with Sean Miller. Like, you and I love Sean Miller as a prospect, but he tore an ACL. He had a shoulder surgery. He played, what, two snaps last year? As much as I like him and I thought he could make an immediate impact, those injuries just set that back. And to expect him to be Sean Miller next year, I don't think you can rely on that for Illinois. And this is what this tells me is they're not.
Yeah, the bridge makes sense. I think the Sean Miller's injury, you have to also consider, like, they took two guys in Ashton Hollins and Ian Pugh who were long-term.
Yep.
Guys, like, their impact wasn't going to be felt in the first year, and probably two. So you kind of shortened your window there of guys who could play in their second year to Hank Beatty, to Sean Miller. Now, we'll see what happens when Malik Elzey and Colin Dixon get to campus, but I think we have to temper expectations because they're not on campus and they're freshmen. So you do need just more of that middle. You need a fourth and a fifth wide receiver, or I guess on the outside you would say maybe like a third and a fourth wide receiver in case something happens, because some things happen. And like Illinois, by and large, was pretty fortuitous injury-wise a year ago. You can't bank your roster constructions on the hope of like, you can do everything in the offseason with Tank Wright to put yourself in a position, but you've got to be, you know, you've got to have your bridges crossed there. And I think, are your T's crossed, I's dotted, whatever it is. Come on, we're still on vacation mode here. And I think going into the wide receiver market is something that just similar to defensive back, more insurance, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I look at this. We can get into it later. Like, this offseason's a lot about bridges.
The transfer
portal. That's how I look at it.
The transfer portal is you lose depth because guys leave, right? Some that Illinois probably doesn't care that they leave. It opens up scholarship spots. So that opens up scholarship spots so you can upgrade your depth, right? Like, that's what this has been for Illinois. And I get it. I get that that's what they're kind of doing. When you're able to keep your guys and develop your guys, that's the positive of the transfer portal. Of guys, five guys leaving in the spring, the only guy we thought was in the two deep was CJ Hart. All of a sudden, you can go find upgrades throughout your depth chart. And that's what they're doing with these last three spots.
You know who I'm sure, like, and I understand why he transferred. Like Brian Hightower. I mean, I get it. It seems like Casey Washington and Pat Bryan had passed him on the depth chart, and he wants opportunities getting that at Cal. You like him. Like, he's kind of that, what you're looking for in terms of experience and talent and a guy you would like out there. Now, I don't think his law, like him leaving, crushes anything, but like, that's kind of the prototype of what Illinois needs in that room right now, is a guy who could be that next wave of wide receivers.
Yeah. All right, Joey, anything else? Like, because then we turn the focus to 2024 official visits. June is going to be insane. It seems like the 9th and the 23rd are the big weekends. Illinois likes to do those. Maybe they'll have some in between, but I think that's strategies. The 9th, the 23rd, that's when they make the push to close on some of their top prospects here. And they've done it pretty well in the past couple of years. And you can go to our site and check out the official visit list. Just go to the FB recruiting tab there, and you can see all the official visitors so far that we have confirmed are coming for those weekends. Big time for Illinois football recruiting. Now you add these transfers. Next month's all about the preps.
I do have one question before I jump into the preps. Why do you? I like to think of why Brett Bielema doesn't do a lot on accident.
Mm-hmm.
As you and I and Ryan had a long discussion about salad on Friday night when Brett Bielema tweeted out a picture of his salad with some ode to Tuscola. Why did he mention they have three, do you think? Three scholarships? Because, like, that's not – I remember – like, remember Big Ten Media Day, he wouldn't even confirm if Solo Turner was a walk-on or a scholarship guy. It's like, why'd he do that? Not that I'm complaining, but, like, it wasn't an accident that he did it once and then he did it twice and I think a third time. So it's clearly a message he's trying to get out. I just don't know why he did.
I mean, he shouldn't care. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
It's not a secret, right? Yeah. But, like, for somebody who doesn't, who hadn't typically done that in the past, like, the fact that he's gone out of his way, maybe it's to, I don't know, like, just if they have one commitment, they don't want,
I think it's smart to tell your fan base your expectations, like, what expectations should be. Like, I think more coaches could do that, should do that.
Yeah, I'm not knocking.
And make it clear for us. Yeah, no, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but yeah, it's interesting. The thought. I don't have an answer for you though.
I think if they got to commit, he didn't want everyone to think, oh God, they're not going to up. Like, you know, if they get Hill first, right? Then I don't think he wanted everyone to think, well, they're not getting a center or they're not getting this. I think he wanted to let them know it drums up interest too.
Sure.
Right? I mean, so I don't know. I just found it. Why do you do that?
I agree.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, a little quick hits before we get out of here, Joey. If anybody on our live YouTube wants to send in questions or comments, we'll respond to those before we get out of here. Ray J. Dennis, it's all the people want to know about. It's been a very quiet recruitment for the most part, but Derek Piper, who's going to join us again Tuesday, 1 p.m., we'll be streaming that live on YouTube. We'll talk about Ray J. Dennis, but visit Illinois last week and then quickly goes to Michigan for a visit. And Baylor for a visit. What are you thinking, Joey? What do you think about Ray J. Dennis, the state of that recruitment?
I mean, I think he's a top prospect in the portal at an important position that has proven talent that programs are going to want to shoot their shot for. I mean, like, it's not surprising to me that he's visiting schools because schools want him. And did he get to experience this out of high school? Like, you get a chance to go be, you know, people can swoon over you and people can make their pitches for you. I don't know that because he's doing this other stuff, it's throw up the flags and say, oh, well, yeah, Illinois is screwed. I just think that's part of recruiting. Like, if a high school kid did this, I don't think anyone would have, you know, there's concern when they're visiting other schools because other schools have pitches. But, like, I don't think it's totally – like weird to me that he's visiting schools.
Two things. I can understand Illinois fans' angst. A lot is riding on Ray J. Dennis.
100%.
A lot is riding on there. I do think they can find somebody else. Like, I don't think I was on vacation last week, but, you know, Jeremiah Williams, who went from Iowa State, got back in the portal. That's a guy, like, you plug in. I don't know if I feel great about it, but it's a body at point guard. You know, was really good at Temple, tore his ACL though, so that'd be a big concern. Like, I had huge questions about that. You don't have another person that we know of right now that is of Ray J. Dennis' caliber, and it seems, I don't know if all in is the right term, but Illinois is 99% all in on Ray J. Dennis, right? But also, yeah, he's the number 32 transfer in the portal according to 24/7 Sports. I personally, and I think Michael Tulip and Isaac Trotter would agree with this, should be higher than that. So I think he's one of the best guards that's been in the portal all offseason. So, yeah, it's not a surprise. Michigan, they got Doug McDaniel. They got some other guards. It's a guard-heavy group
right now. Caleb Love.
Yeah, Caleb Love. Like, yeah, they just got a lot of guards there. But it's Michigan. Like, they've produced a lot of draft picks. It's got a big brand. It's close to home for AJ Dennis, who's from Oswego. Baylor. I mean, dude, Baylor's done a heck of a job with guards. Had a lottery pick a couple years ago. Another first-round pick a couple years ago. I mean, obviously, Baylor's got a heck of a sell, but I still feel like Illinois, based on not bringing in other guys for transfers, they feel pretty good about where they're at, and I think the sell makes the most sense. Listen, like, Baylor's awesome. Michigan's a great program, but Illinois just can give him the keys. There's nobody else that's playing point guard for them right now. It's a home state. We know Illinois's been connected to him for a really long time. I think he's going through his process, wants to make sure. That leaves some nerves because Illinois hasn't closed it down yet. But I would imagine in the next week or so, we should hear a decision for him. And Illinois got the first visit. Maybe they'll get him on an official visit for the last visit.
Yeah, I think some of the angst is people are wondering what – I mean, they saw what happens when you don't have a veteran point guard a year ago, and they saw the issues that created, and you're wondering what's going to happen with Terrence Shannon Jr., and you're wondering what's going to happen with Coleman Hawkins. So, I get it. I'd never scold someone for the angst, because I understand as you step back and look and see that there's, like, a lot of pieces still out there floating around that you would wonder what's going to happen. So, I get it, man. It's a nerve-wracking time. And that's what happens when in college basketball, when rosters move, like rosters move, and you're searching for talent that is going through NBA processes and has a list of suitors. It's a long process. It can feel like forever. I get it. It's not the most fun, but I just think this is a normal process for AJ Dennis.
Couple quick things. Illinois women's basketball recruiting, stay hot, man. Like, they are rolling. Shauna Green is having an unbelievable offseason. The two transfer gets they've gotten, to steal a Stanford assistant, to land Haven Smith, the first in-state prospect she's landed, and then to add Barry Wallace, a top 50 prospect. They're getting a lot longer here, Joey. That has been a focus this offseason. I think all the pieces they've added are over 6 foot this offseason. That includes Barry Wallace, a 6'1" wing. ESPN rates her as the number 37 prospect, and that's a recent update. They really skyrocketed her up. That's a huge get for Shauna Green, Joey.
Yeah, I talked to her dad, Chris, last week, and I said, why now? I mean, obviously she was still getting attention during the AAU season, and he told me, he said, she's a player on the rise. I mean, this isn't, you know, the way rankings go, she's not falling. She wasn't a 15, that's down to 37 now. And he said, why wait 30 days, 45 days for something that we already know? They were very comfortable with Shauna Green. Pickerington has produced a lot of Division I athletes. Her dad has known Shauna for some time, dating back to when she was at Dayton. That staff did a really good job of building a connection, making her a priority, and landed a top 50 player, top 40 player. And we'll see how that all ends up. But that was a big one. And the timing was really good for Illinois, because you get Haven Smith, who's a really talented post, who's come on a lot over the course of the last 12, 15 months. And then immediately turn around and add Barry Wallace. Now your 24 is cooking, and you still got some in-staters out there. Aaliyah Guyton is somebody they're still recruiting out of Peoria Central. That was like a very momentum-filled weekend for Illinois women's basketball, and just capped off what's been I'm eager to talk to Shauna Green about this offseason, because honestly, like, the way the season closed, it was like, hey, bravo, I get to the tournament, and they just hit the gas all offseason. They needed to, right? They needed to, 100%. But man, they've really exceeded what I thought they could do this offseason, the first offseason full one for Shauna Green and her staff.
Because the question becomes, can you do it again? Like, that, that's right. You have a standard now. Your standard is NCAA tournaments for Illinois women's basketball. I thought it would have taken her 4 or 5 years, Joey, to get there. But kudos to her. She did that, and they don't want to fall down again. So Camille Hobby is going to make a huge impact on that. Shea Boland could make a huge impact on that. Adding depth to the front court, which was by far the biggest weakness both in the Big Ten and in the NCAA tournament. But they get all these players who are basically, besides Hobby and Peebles, they got 2 years of eligibility left. So Makaira Cook, Adalia McKenzie,
Genesis Bryant, Kendall, like, Bostick.
That's a loaded roster for the short term, and now you're loading it up for the long term. on top of a good 2023 class that might not be done, Joey. Skylar Jones decommitted from Missouri. She had signed with Missouri, got out of her letter of intent, and I just saw, I think her high school or whatever, say that she's going to make a decision here soon. And Illinois was pretty involved the first time around. So if you can add, she's a four-star wing, Chicago Whitney Young. You talk about a heck of a couple weeks for in-state recruiting. If Illinois can land her, that'd be pretty massive.
Yeah, it'd be a good way to, I think, I don't want to say close the offseason because you're still fighting in 24 for some other prospects, but that'd be a really good addition to this 23 class. I expect them to be involved again the second time around. Why wouldn't you? She's a four-star in-state. You've got a pitch now. You want to make your case if you can get her, and I'm sure she's going to have a lot of suitors. Four-stars have, generally speaking, have a lot of suitors. So, yeah, we'll see if that tweet indicates to me that I would expect this week just to see where she's going to land. But, yeah, that'd be a heck of a way to add. I mean, she's kind of a guard wing type player. So you add her with a Gretchen Dolan from New York. I think she won a State Player of the Year award out there. And you add her to a Corey Allen who really closed Geico National strong and is a big guard. Now all of a sudden you're building depth where they just didn't have it, dude. They did not have depth last year. So we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. But to be involved in that, and we think they're involved in that, that's telling that at least your message is being heard. Now, will it ultimately win out? I don't know. I don't know if they're going to land her, but your message is being heard around the state of Illinois again.
Yeah. The first year, the goal was to become somewhat relevant, and you became very relevant in year one of Shauna Green, and they are taking advantage of that. They have taken advantage of that this offseason, and what I think has been a solidifying offseason. Like, it's really, really kind of said that Illinois women's basketball is for real. Like, Shauna Green has done that this offseason. So I think she's proving that year one was not going to be just a fluke. Now, it's a lot of work to get to the NCAA tournament, and the Big Ten is really good. But the talent she's stacked in such a small amount of time, like what she's done in the portal, has been unbelievable. And now to add the prep recruiting wins is pretty awesome. So kudos to her. Any final thoughts on that?
No, just to get to – I don't think we've talked since Shea Bolin committed. If we have, I don't know. It feels like forever ago. To get two post players out of the portal, Shauna Green told me earlier this offseason, post players are probably being over-recruited. There's just not enough. We've talked about that in a number of other positions in every other sport. So to go get two – and Shea Bolin still got a lot to prove. She didn't play much at Duke. She had injuries her high school. But she's certainly talented, and she certainly believes in what Illinois is putting out there. So to go get two and to bolster what I think was your biggest weakness, like for as big as, you know, you still have Calamity McIntyre, who we think is, I mean, it's a short amount of time probably before she ends up running her own program. So to retain your coaches, to add Brittany Anderson, those are big deals. But to go add what was clearly your biggest weakness was also probably the most recruited spot in the sport. So to go out and add depth in that capacity, that's really telling of this program and where they're going. I think that was one of the bigger deals. And like the 224 commits are a big deal, but yeah, to go out and get those two is huge.
And Camille Hobby's a given. You know what she is at this level. And then Shea Bolin, yes, injured the last couple of years, but former top 50 prospect who could be here for 3 years, right? So like that's for multiple years. Like that's a huge addition for them. Want to shout out Olivia Howell, potentially the best athlete on campus. She wins another Big Ten title in the 1500 meters. She also finished second in the 5000 meters. She did that just a couple hours after a 1500 meter.
Can you imagine doing that? Can you imagine doing that in a couple hour window?
If I got like an hour to do both of them, yeah. she did them in like 30 minutes.
Dude, she's remarkable, man. She is so good at what she does.
And national champion in the indoor mile.
I'm eager to see what happens for her and, as this postseason moves along. But, man, she's really, really, really talented. I know Jonathan did a feature on her last week. I think my timeline's all messed up. Just really, really impressive what she's able to do for a program that's been pretty solid first year for Petros. And we'll see how the postseason goes. I know he's got high aspirations. I like reading his statements, like we talked about Mike Small. I like reading his. It's very similar in the phrasing. But man, what a weekend for her, and I'm just fascinated to see what it looks like for her.
Yeah, Illinois men's golf has teed off at their NCAA regional up in Bath, Michigan, at Eagle Eye Golf Club. They are currently tied for third. That's just halfway through the first round, three-round tournament. So they are very fueled by missing their NCAA regional last year, but it's a great field. They are in a great field at this NCAA regional. Georgia currently leads at 9-under, Texas at 7-under, Illinois, along with Michigan State and Illinois State, unranked teams at 6-under. So teams shooting really well at this course right now, and a lot of other ranked teams. So usually Illinois starts to separate as the tournament goes along, but it's a tough field, and they want to start another streak in the NCAA championships. And to miss out 2 years in a row would be a huge disappointment for them. I don't expect that to be the case. I think this is a national title contender, but you never know when you get into these loaded fields like they are. So we'll see how Illinois golf does this weekend. Any final thoughts, Joey? We'll answer a few
questions. College golf is so wild to monitor because the swings are so profound and happen so quickly that it's almost like I get the fun of following, and you have to. It's our job to follow the Mondays and Tuesdays. But it is such a wild spectrum of possibilities, and it happens very quickly. But yeah, I think it would be a disappointment if they didn't get out of this, one, because of 2 years in a row, and two, just an exceptionally talented team. I don't expect that to be the case. I think by Wednesday this will sort itself out and Illinois will be just fine. But what a talented golf team that is, and it's got a real chance to do some things, man.
Smitty, we'll do this one again. How realistic is it for Xavier Scott to win a starting job? Very realistic. I'd be shocked if Xavier Scott is not a starter, most likely at nickel, or if they decided to throw him back at corner. But I think he's the Quan Martin heir apparent there at nickel.
Yeah, I think they recruited him as much. I think Ryan Walters at one point maybe even said it last year. I know he's not here, but I don't think the thought process on Xavier Scott is going to change very much. I think it's super realistic, and it's still a lot of fall camp left, so I don't want to say like likely, but very, very realistic.
Dominic is in the chat again today, Joey.
Oh, boy.
Brett doing an outstanding job. Sean Green doing an outstanding job. That's all I'm going to say.
Three more comments later. We love you, Dom.
Just swipe it, Brett. How much better do you feel about Illinois basketball if Ray J. Dennis commits and then they add a backup big man? Like, if that happens in the next month, like, how much does the narrative shift about Illinois? And it could also shift the other way if they don't
win Ray J. Now, if they add a backup big man, it means Coleman Hawkins has likely stayed in the draft because Ray J. Dennis would be the final scholarship, assuming Terrence Shannon comes back, if that's the case. They have enough for three more, and those three would be, as it stands, Ray J., Terrence Shannon, and Coleman Hawkins.
It is amazing the realm of possibilities that are still existing for Illinois basketball. Like, if you had all those guys come back, if you had Ray J. Dennis plus Shannon and Hawkins, you're a Big Ten title contender. Like, I don't know if you're the favorite. I don't know if you're the second favorite, but you're in that mix. Like, I think you're talking about Purdue and Michigan State, and then people are probably bringing up Indiana, Illinois, Maryland, that group. Like, Illinois would probably belong in that group. If you just have Shannon and Ray J. Dennis, I think you're in that conversation, especially if you had a backup big man via the portal as well. So just a lot of realm of possibilities. So I get all the angst that is out there.
I get it, man. I get it.
Yeah. Astros Jake, would you share what your traffic looks like for football versus basketball content? Seems like there's way more fan interest for football than basketball right now. Is that reflecting in the numbers? Jake, I would tell you, with the last year, the interest in football has definitely gone up, but the interest in basketball is unparalleled. Like, if all I wanted was to get traffic to the site or to get subscriptions, it'd be to post whatever rumor I hear about basketball, to post any little story about basketball, any little nugget, any little thought about basketball, because the craziness of basketball still is far superior to football. I will say, though, the interest in women's basketball has been awesome to see. Joey, you're doing a heck of a job covering it, but if they get a commit, you know, we talked to Shauna, like, the traffic there is strong.
It's really strong, and it didn't take long. I think probably midway through last season, when it became clear that this team is much improved, it really took off and made it clear to us that we needed to be at those games, and obviously the NCAA tournament, the off season. Now it's all good vibes right now, and certainly there's fluctuation the same way that football last season early on. But yeah, the just, I mean, I don't have the numbers, Jeremy. I know you do, but just in the conversation and the interactions, it's pretty easy to look at the message board posts and to see football and women's basketball have really, since I started in 21, like it's gone up significantly. And of course it's tied to success as well, but men's basketball is not tied to success. I mean, obviously success helps, let's be honest here, but it's a machine.
Yeah. And basketball's had a lot of success.
Yeah, right.
Despite the NCAA tournament the last couple of years, like they've had a lot of success on the court. And football and women's basketball are trying to build to that type of consistency that we've seen, at least in conference play from Illinois men's basketball. I think if football has another year like they had last year, if they can follow that up with another strong year, we've seen season ticket sales go way up. I think then you continue to get more interest. You get more interest in recruiting. You get more interest in the roster because, of the 40,000 people who were at an Illinois football game last year, the 50,000 late in the season, how many of them could name the entire 22 players? Like, Ohio State fans can name the entire 22 players. Like, a lot of those schools. Like, the diehards that subscribe to our site, that read all of our stuff, of course, they probably have a good idea. But, like, there are super fans I know that can't name the entire, 22 starters. If they continue to have success, I think you get more interest in how they build a roster. You get more interest in all those things. So, I think you continue to get success, you'll get more of the casual fans in, man. And I don't see a problem with that. You want casual fans filling up your stadium.
Yeah, I mean, looks good. When the stadium's filled up, it's good for the program when that stadium's filled up. So, yeah, I'm with you. There's a lot of people who are just getting involved, and that's great, man. Yep. That's great. I mean, winning provides a really easy pathway to want to be involved or to get involved. Yep. That doesn't make someone a fair weather. It just means there's finally been enough interest to spend your Saturdays or spend your money or your time or whatever it is to be invested. It's good for our business. It's good for their business. And it's just makes it a little more fun to do this job when you're not writing for talking for 12 people. It's a bigger number and there's more interest in it.
Master says, is Zy Chrysler going to move to tackle or stay at guard? Great question for training camp. I'm interested to see that. My guess right now would be, do you feel Josh Geske or Jordan Slaughter is more entrenched as a starter right now, Joey? That's the question, right? I think Zy Chrysler is going to start. Right now, I think it'd be at guard.
Yeah, I think the other question is can Zy Chrysler effectively play tackle? We don't know. We haven't seen that. Like, there's no evidence in Big Ten football that we've seen that. We know he can play guard, and we know he was a mauling guard last season. We don't know. We don't have enough evidence. That's why, like, in terms of things that I wish we would have seen in the spring, number one, obviously, you want to see where Matthew Bailey, like, how if he were to be healthy, how that would have shaken up. But how many reps, if any, if all, would Chrysler have gotten had he been healthy in spring at right tackle? That we don't know. Like, I don't know that. I think in theory he's got the ability.
I don't think Bart Miller knows. Like, Bart Miller wants his best five. I think he'll rotate guys, and Jordan Slaughter's done that the last couple years. But I think there's going to be competition. Like, the left side we know. The left side we know is Isaiah Adams, most likely, at left guard, and Julian Pearl at left tackle. They're trying to add an upgrade at center, at least some competition at center. Right guard, right tackle, it's going to be a combination of Jordan Slaughter, Zy Chrysler, and Josh Geske. How does that all sort out? I don't know.
Well, we know that Isaiah Adams could play right tackle, but it's very clear to us that there's not an appetite for that to be the case. No. I mean, I think, like, if they get to camp and everyone is just not grasping that, they would maybe consider that because you would have to, but there's not an appetite for that to be the case. So then it breaks down to exactly as you said on the right side.
Yeah. All right, any final thoughts, Joey? Anything else you want to get out there?
Nah, man, it's nice to get away. Got another one coming up here in a couple weeks. Be good.
Well, appreciate all our live YouTube listeners. It is good to be back and to talk with all you guys. If you are watching live on YouTube or you're watching back, give us a like on your way out. Subscribe to us. Hit the notifications bell as well. And thank you to all our podcast listeners as well. Follow us, rate us, review us wherever you get your podcast. Derek Piper will join me at 1 p.m. Central Time Tuesday, May 16th. If you want your basketball fix, we'll be doing that live on YouTube and we'll get it uploaded right away to our podcast channels as well. But everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. And we will talk to you next time right here on the Iwana Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.